Shoulders, elbows, wrists, hands, hips, knees, or feet? Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic deep tissue laser treatment for you. This technology relieves pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience fast robotic deep tissue laser pain relief at a special price. Call us Monday through Wednesday to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second half hour of our history lesson talking about the Great Depression with Pastor Chatfield. The big New Deal, whatever the campaign slogan was, FDR gets elected president and immediately said the federal government is going to take care of everybody. They started Social Security, a lot of other programs. Explain, if you can, list for us all of these bureaucratic government programs, handouts, whatever, to basically get the country out of the Great Depression.
Right. Agricultural Adjustment Act, Civilian Conservation Corps. By the way, I was going to make this comment. I was told that my wife's grandfather worked in the CCC, planting trees, hired guys to go out in camps, plant trees, do something. I've been told here in northern Michigan, you ever notice a lot of the pines, the big pine forests are all these trees are in rows?
Yes.
I was told that was done, so I've been told, in the 1930s, and it makes sense. I mean, massive. It's because they're doing something. Farm Credit Administration, Federal Emergency Relief Administration, Federal Housing Administration, Farm Security Administration, Homeowners Loan Corporation, National Recovery Act and Administration, National Youth Administration, Public Works Administration, Rural Electrification Administration, Social Security Administration. And that one survived, obviously, completely in totality, 1935. Changed us forever. The federal government runs, you know, it's a pension plan run by the federal government. And we all count on it now. I would assume you're going to draw Social Security. Is that not true, Randy? So eventually, someday?
Well, you know, the thing of it is, it's got to be restructured. We have 10,000 seniors a day going on Medicare. Every single day. Tomorrow, there'll be 10,000 more people on Medicare than there is today. They will also be fully vetted, even though some seniors are choosing to take it early, they're fully vetted to start taking Social Security. 10,000 a day? We are not giving birth to 10,000 babies a day.
Right. It is what it is.
That's the problem right there.
Tomorrow is my birthday. I'll be 69. Woo.
Yes, and I saw it on my calendar. I was going to wish you a happy birthday in the final segment.
Hey, okay. Here's the deal. So we've got I'm going to start drawing Social Security. So I had to get an appointment with Social Security. On the phone, guess what? I had to wait till April just to get on, just to talk to somebody. I was born at the height of the baby boom, 1957. And there's way more people now are signing up for Social Security than people that are entering into the workforce and paying Social Security. Restructured? Good luck. Because that's a political question. Are you gonna go to the seniors who vote and say, "Oh, we're gonna cut your Social Security"? Sorry, you know, I don't know what's gonna happen. It is a political killer. No Republican or Democrat, especially Democrat, is gonna cut anything. They don't believe in it. Just hopefully, you know, go a little bit more in debt, and we'll be okay in the future. That's how we've been going from generation to generation. Tennessee Valley Authority, that one's worked, and it's still, you know, TVA it's called. They built a series of dams along the Tennessee River to produce power. Some of these things had limited success, Works Progress Administration. By the way, all this was done, Maynard Keynes, it's Keynesian economics. What is that? That's the idea that you need to prime the pump. The government needs to spend money to encourage people to get back and invest. FDR's had a group of college people, college professors, that he called the Brain Trust, the Brain Trust, mostly from Columbia University. And they were theoreticians. They were businessmen. They just kind of thought, you know, we could do this, that, and the other, and things are going to get better. You know, there's an old saying in business, those who can do, and those who can't teach or go, are going to government.
Or going to government. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because, you know, if you know, you build a business, you build a business. They didn't know anything about business. And the Keynesian model is still basically runs, it's not completely. I mean, there's some pushback on that now among conservatives. I mean, so you got a businessman as president now who kind of has understanding of business. And is what it is. People don't, you know, oh, he's just a greedy businessman. It, you know, as Calvin Coolidge said, the business of America is business. Business is what built a country, not government. But we've lost that notion of individualism. And it is now among Republicans, Democrats, conservatives, liberals, everybody expects the government to take care of them. And by the way, here's the, and in those days, and it's still true today, so I'm going to start drawing Social Security here soon, because once you turn 69, you know, back once you turn 69 or 70, it does, there makes no sense to delay drawing Social Security any longer.
Well, and you've also at that age have maxed out your benefits. You cannot get any more per month waiting past 69. People who start taking Social Security early for medical reasons, disability, whatever, if they start at 63 or 64, they get a discounted monthly rate for the rest of their lives. 65, you're fully vetted, but 69, you've maxed out your benefits. Sorry, you got to start taking it.
Yes, it only makes sense. By the way, you say, whoa, here, Pastor Chatfield, you're not a socialist. I thought you didn't believe in all this. Yeah, I don't.
You paid into it.
But what do you want me to do? What good am I going to do not drawing Social Security? Well, I'm going to be a true American and not draw Social Security. Well, I'll just be a true poor American. I'll be poor whether I draw it or not. But, you know, it's a little bit. I would like to get a little bit. By the way, kind of the idea. When the stock market crashed, people like J.P. Morgan tried to calm people down. And he started buying stock.
Yes.
Hey, we're going to make it. It's okay, yeah.
Rockefeller hoping did the it other, as well, yeah.
Yeah. So try to stay in the market. Yeah. But people do what they perceive to be in their own best interest, and they couldn't stem the tide. They couldn't stem the tide. And it is what it is. And by the way, it was in 1933 that we officially went off the gold standard. Is that allowed? Because when we were tied to gold, when our currency was tied to the price of gold, then there was more stability. But you couldn't print money willy-nilly anymore. Couldn't print, but now you can because we're not tied to the gold. And that's why gold and silver, in case you guys watch these sort of things, has gone way up in the last year or two. And I just won't tell you how. And it's gone way up. People don't trust government. They don't trust it. And so, and by the way, and we've talked about this, as the initial panic stopped, and I will give FDR credit, and let me see if I can explain this. He said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. He said that in 1932 in his inaugural address. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. People panicked. In 1929, sold, got their money, and held it tight. Because a lot of people lost all their money. If your money was in a bank and your bank closed, you lost your money. You lost, if you had all your money in stocks, you lost. When you got a little more money, you said, I'm not going that route anymore. I'm not going to put my money in a bank. I'm not going to invest it. So that's when people started to put it in their walls and under the mattress and hide money. You and I are old enough to remember our grandparents who lived through this as adults. My parents lived through it as young people, but my grandparents lived through it as adults, and they were very, very careful with their money.
Oh yeah,
They were careful. Right, who could blame them? Right, who can blame them? What FDR was trying to get people to do, and I understand this. He said, "Hey, we got to invest, spend your money. Let's get the mechanisms of the economy going again. Okay, buy, invest, go ahead and build that second house or buy that boat or whatever. And by doing that, you put more people back to work, and then they buy and they sell, and we get the economy moving." But people had been burned so badly, they didn't want to do it. And I was telling the kids in school, and this doesn't happen too much anymore, but it could still happen. I've heard so many stories of people that bought old houses and were trying to remodel them, started to tear down the interior walls, and they found money in the walls.
Yeah.
Why? Because people weren't going to put their money in a bank. They lost their money by putting it in the bank. And they definitely weren't going to put it in stocks anymore.
Yeah.
And so that type of hiding your money does not help the economy. It doesn't. Because it's just sitting there. It's not doing anything. But who can blame a person for that? It is the way it is. And if you were owned some stock in 1929 and you saw the stock market falling, if you could catch it soon enough, of course you'd sell. And if your money was in the bank, and if you could get to the bank before somebody else and withdraw it, that's what you would do. That's just human nature. I mean, you say, "Well, no, I'm gonna stick with the bank and everything will be okay." Well, then you lost all your money. You follow that. And that didn't. I had some friends that back in we had a downturn after 9/11. Remember after 9/11, there was a downturn in the stock market.
Oh,
and
yeah.
A friend of mine says, "Well, I'm not going to sell. I'm going to hold for the good of the country. I'm going to hold." Okay. Well, thank you for your patriotism, but he lost a lot of money by holding.
Sure.
I mean, you got to get ahead of these things. That's the free market. That's how it works. Now, by the way, the stock market has recovered and has rebounded. And the stocks, I think, have always been and probably, to my knowledge, will continue to be generally a good investment. But you can't think you're going to get rich overnight. And that's what happened in the 20s.
Yeah.
And then when the stock market crashed, fear took a hold of everybody.
Yeah, it is a long-term retirement plan is what you have to look at. You're not going to, be a day trader and make money, buying and selling stocks within a day or a week or whatever. So we're going to finish this up. Final segment of our history lesson, The Great Depression with Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy, or call 800-654-9659.
Hear ye, hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From Noble New Tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat.
And terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car, roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Final segment of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield, the Great Depression. Final thoughts, Pastor Chatfield, let you wrap this one up.
Yes, the Depression went on for, you know, basically the entire decade. And what brought it, what eventually brought it out? Was it the Keynesian economics of FDR and the professors from Columbia and all the government programs? I really don't think so. But did World War II brought us out? In other words, when World War II happened and the government started selling bonds, hey, everybody, we've got to do this. We were attacked. The country came together and it, you were kind of forced into investing now. We have to, change these automobile factories into making trucks and tanks and airplanes and all the things that we need. Come together, trust, believe. Fear is what prolonged it. People not wanting to spend their money, not wanting to invest their money. If they had money, wanted to hold it. But when World War II came, we had to pull together and fight. And obviously, a lot of men joined, and that kind of helped alleviate the unemployment problem. And then women went to work to... we had to have war materials, and the economic engines began rolling again. In the end, it's World War II that brought us out. The stock market was because way too confident in the future. I mean, just like, hey, if everything's going to go up and up and up ever for now and forever and continually. No, it doesn't work like that. Does not work that way. But by the end of the Depression, in the midst of it, people were so tight with their money, they wouldn't spend or invest, and that made it worse. And that fear to not buy, invest, spend, that really clogged the economy. And I give FDR credit for this. Hey, put on a happy face. You know, hey, everything's going to be okay. I mean, you got to tell people that, even if you didn't. I mean, it's just the way it is. Because a dour face doesn't work. And I'll give Roosevelt some credit there. You know, people look to him that he's going to get us out of this. He's got a lot of confidence. But in reality, he didn't get us out of it. It's the war brought us out of it. And it's one of those things. Could something like this happen again? Of course it could. Probably will. Something like this. Maybe not as severe. I don't know. But that's, you know, we go through cycles. And that was one of them. That was the worst in American history. What we call
And the thing of it is that I guess we take away from it, too, is Calvin Coolidge, during his presidency and his economic policies and what he did with his background as a businessman, things that he did with guarding tariffs, all kinds of things, there was this buildup, and it unfortunately it was just over leveraged is basically that's my takeaway.
Yeah, and that's when the Smoot-Hawley tariffs came up, and that after the crash.
Yes.
People say, hey, we need American jobs. Let's not trade with countries anymore. Let's really slap a high tariff on them. Well, okay, but that was counterproductive. I think it was counterproductive. You got to be smart with your tariffs.
Yep.
Whether you have them or not. Yes, and I'm not sure that was a wise thing to do. You know, there you go.
Well, it's unfortunate that we went through it, but like everything else, you learn from your history or you're doomed to repeat it. And I think that that was definitely the case.
You and I have never lived through something like that. We were born in the 50s. Our parents were young people at the time. Our grandparents lived through it. And there was definitely a way more conservative, frugal, maybe is a better word, frugal attitude toward money. We're not spending this if we don't need to. We're not going to spend. Well, we're going to see what kind of money we got. We don't have the money. We're not going to borrow. We're going to retain our savings. And it was a way of thinking too. And our children and grandchildren, you got money for this, that, and the other? Well, give me your credit card. Yeah, but I don't want to borrow money. Well, it's, you know, what's your credit line? Well, my credit line might be $10,000, or I don't even know what it is, frankly, but it might be $20,000. I don't want to borrow that money because you have to pay it back eventually.
Right.
See, I have some understanding of that, but the younger generation, not so much, I don't think.
Well, again, they don't know their history. And like you said, even some people our age don't even know that history because, like you said, we didn't live through it.
Right. We don't know what it's like. You and me, I won't speak for you. I bet it's just true. Did you ever come home from school thinking, I wonder if there's any food in the house? Is there any food in the cupboard? I never lived like that.
Yeah. And, I never did either. Thank God.
Yes. But they did during the Depression. Yes, they did. That was a rough time.
Well, we appreciate that, and hopefully, again, the real history can be taught to our kids so they learn it and learn from it, and we hopefully never have to go through that again. So,
right.
We're looking forward to Sunday. We're starting to get a little warmer temperatures. Tigers are playing baseball down in Florida.
Yes, look forward to watching them in regular season.
Well, listen, you have a fantastic birthday tomorrow. Where is Betty taking you out for dinner?
Oh, I don't know. Hey, we've got a big, we're in the district finals, boys, district finals with our friends from Harbor Light tonight. So there you go. Big basketball game for us at Northern Michigan Christian Academy.
At your school?
No, it's at Harbor Light tonight.
At Harbor Light. Very good.
Yep.
All right,
sir.
Good luck with that. Happy birthday. We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right. Real good. Thanks, Randy.
Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
This is Kevin Kievsky, and I'm running for the Republican nomination for Michigan Attorney General. I've defeated the current Attorney General by actually representing the 2020 Trump alternate electors. It's time to end the lawfare here in our great state, and no more ever using the law as a weapon against patriots. Delegates, back me at the march.